I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. One of my favorite guests, Warren Kinsella, joins me again. He's a columnist with Sun Media and will be part of the Sun News Network when that launches next week. We'll ask him about that, as well as the federal election we're in the midst of, last night's federal leaders debate and more. Warren Kinsella is a political commentator and consultant. He is the president and co-founder of the Daisy Consulting Group in Toronto. He's written a number of books, including The War Room, which was his last. He is also the founder of the punk rock band Shit From Hell. His website is at warrenkinsella.com. Please welcome back to the Plant on the Line program, Warren Kinsella. Good morning, Mr. Kinsella.
How are you, my friend?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yourself?
Good. Just, reading all the comments on my website about the debate last night, what people thought, and who they thought was a winner and who they thought was a loser, and all that fun stuff.
Who did you think won?
Harper, because he won by not losing. Because the gap has been so big and for such a long period of time, on the magnitude of 10 points between the Liberals and the Conservatives, there needed to be two things to happen to make any kind of measurable impact on that gap. And that was for Harper to have a bit of a stumble, have, for example, this Auditor General report stuff really mess him up, and for Ignatieff to really shine, to have a shining moment, one of the so-called defining moments, if those exist, and I think they probably don't. But both those things needed to happen, and neither happened. Harper was robotic. He used this kind of FM announcer voice and, straight on camera, and he looked as programmed as a human being can look and still remain a human being. But he did what he had to do. He avoided trouble. And Ignatieff, got off a couple good shots on the democracy stuff and, bickering isn't democracy, Mr. Harper, and all that. But, if I'd been him, I just would have said, you know what, Mr. Harper, why don't you look me in the eye? Look over here, right? Quit staring off in the camera. Look us in the eye when we speak to you. We've got something to say to you on behalf of Canadians. And he didn't do that. So visually it looked like a prime minister in the House of Commons, Harper, and a leader of the opposition trying to land a blow, which was Ignatieff.
And one pundit last night said that Ignatieff was good at attacking but not good at saying what he's for. Is a debate a good place to say, talk about your platform, which I guess Ignatieff didn't do?
Yeah, Bill Clinton showed it was. That you just, for sure you got to go after the other guy, especially when he's got a big lead, as Harper does and did. But, talk this family pack plan that Ignatieff's got and that is in his plan is very popular with women, and that needs to be something that he talks about more, and he had an opportunity to talk about it in front of 3 million people last night.
The NDP leader, Jack Layton, attacked Ignatieff on his lack of attendance in Parliament. Do you think that's going to resonate with the voter?
I think that, one thing that Layton did, which was dishonest but effective, was the attendance record stuff.
Yeah.
Apparently it's not that bad. But Ignatieff just should have turned to him and said, that's false, that's not true. And you're dishonest there as you were dishonest about the NDP's voting record on gun control. You're the guys who helped almost kill gun control. I saved it. Something like that. But he was focused just on Harper, and what the Liberal Party of Canada, in my view, needs to realize is the NDP's in the rearview mirror. That's why guys like me and Chrystia and others, favor some kind of cooperation or, get-together between the two parties, because what separates us isn't as great as you might think.
Yeah. The French debate tonight, do you think that will matter at all? I mean, if someone stumbles there, will that affect the election, say? I mean, fewer people watch that, right?
It can matter. It's mainly restricted to Quebec, so it doesn't have as much value as you would like.
This Auditor General's report, it's fascinating to me. I was reading about it and how the Speaker could be called back to rule on this, and whether she can, the Auditor General, release her report or not. I read on your blog earlier this week that you thought it was a game changer. After the debate last night, is it still that?
It should have been, but it wasn't. You know, as I say, it needed to be an opportunity. It was Ignatius, you know, opportunity to get past all of those conservative ads, you know, all those terrible things they've been saying about them, and show Canadians that he's not so bad. I think he did that visually. But he also needed, as you say, to talk about his plan and, you know, what kind of prime minister he would be, and not just talk about the beef he's got with Stephen Harper. You know, one thing for sure we know in this campaign, we know what all the opposition parties feel about Stephen Harper. They don't like him, and they don't like his government. So it was an opportunity. The scandal stuff, and the Tories have had just an avalanche of scandal stuff, has not really hurt them to the degree that a lot of us thought it would. So that's why the debates were so important.
And why hasn't this avalanche, I mean, of scandal, Bruce Carson, Bev Oda, whether this money was wasted in certain writings, cabinet minister writings, why hasn't that resonated? Whose fault is that? Is it the media for not reporting it, or is it just the public they're concerned about other
people
things?
People are skeptical of, you know, scandal stuff. It very rarely has an impact. You know, in BC, there would have been Hydrogate and Bingogate. You would have thought it would have had a huge impact back in the late 90s, but Glenn Clark got reelected with a majority, yeah. Right? And the sponsorship stuff had been going on when Kretschmer was prime minister for 2 years, and he was at 55%. It was only when Paul Martin made the ridiculous decision to start investigating, you know, the Liberal Party and criminalizing the Liberal Party, that the Liberal Party started dropping the polls.
And how does it look to you, the campaign this far? I mean, it seems that Stephen Harper will win. Is a majority no longer in the cards for him?
It's there, but it's nip and tuck. The thing that a lot of the media, the national media, forget is that Harper's got a lot of wasted vote. You know, he can only win so many seats in Alberta or Saskatchewan or in the interior of B.C. He's got those seats already. He can't win them twice. So a lot of his national vote totals, you know, are not going to be necessarily reflected in seats. And so that's one thing to keep in mind. He's just the strength that the polls suggest, the horse race polls suggest that he has, is not the strength that he's actually going to have, I think, on election day.
So how has the Liberal Party's campaign done so far? You're not advising.
I'm not involved in any way, shape, or form. I think Ignatieff, this is what I had counseled him when I was advising him, you know, he needed, Ignatieff had all the blue Liberals. He needed to get back some red Liberals, and he needed to get back some soft NDP vote. And it wasn't just going to happen by demonizing Stephen Harper. Is getting back to your original question, he needed to say what he was going to do. And the stuff he said he was going to do, you know, say that the oil sands is an instrument of national unity, outflanking Harper on the right on Afghanistan, you know, sounding like that he was okay with privatization of some healthcare services. Those are right-wing things. Those are not liberal things to say and do. And Afghanistan in particular was, in my opinion, a huge mistake. We needed, if we weren't going to do a coalition or a get-together with the NDP, we needed to get some of their vote. And you don't do that by being even more hawkish on Afghanistan than Stephen Harper. That was a big mistake, and he's now paying the price for it.
Do you miss being in the arena, being in the war room?
No. I'm running the war room stuff for Premier McGuinty, and that's going to be a great campaign. We're going to win it. And, you know, the federal thing, I wish them the very best. I hope it isn't a majority. You know, I hope I'm wrong and that, you know, Ignatieff pulls it out in the last couple weeks. But, no, I don't miss it all. This is one I'm quite happy to sit out. As a matter of fact, there's an ambulance going by.
the talk of a coalition, could that still happen?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, Harper very successfully squashed it last time by saying, as I predicted he will this time, they're trying to overturn the election result. See, they couldn't win fair and square, so they're trying to do a backroom deal. That's why I thought Ignatieff was wrong to say, oh, you know, we can talk about, you know, coalition and cooperation after the election. It's like, no, you can't. That's why Kretschmer and Broadbent and Romano and lesser people like me were saying, no, you got to do it, you know, a year and a half ago when the when there isn't an election in the offing, because now he can say they're trying to overturn the election. They're trying to repudiate your ballot and the choice that Canadians make and made, and he'll be successful when he does that.
So you're part of the new Sun News Network, right?
I'm a freelance contributor, I guess they call me.
Oh, so you won't have a show?
No. I got four kids and I got a firm, and you know I'm preoccupied with that. So I'm the kind of their resident communist and come in and help them out on different shows.
I hope you won't be like their Alan Combs.
Yeah, no, I've been likened to that guy. Yeah. Well, you know how I am. I kind of say what I think, and I think that's why they asked me to get involved. I'm not afraid to be critical of my own team when I have to. And I'm obviously not afraid to be critical of New Democrats or conservatives. And I think that's what you're going to see. It's going to be really kind of a talk radio thing on TV. But it's not going to be this Fox News North stuff. I mean, we're getting our international news feed from CNN. We're not getting it from Fox.
Yeah. It just seems like it'll be a fun thing to watch and perhaps a useful thing. I mean, is that your sense already?
Yeah, I think it is going to be fun. It's going to be entertaining. It's going to be TV unlike any other TV in Canada. And if they're trying to do something, it's that, which is not to have, you know, kind of the boring, staid, you know, news world panels. They're going to have, you know, a lot of feisty, zany stuff. So it's basically, if you know, you look at a tabloid like The Province or The Sun, and it's just turning it into TV. And that's not necessarily a left-wing or a right-wing thing. It's just this kind of populist fun. Let's not take ourselves too seriously.
Now, there was some discussion a year or so ago, and it came back again during this campaign about it was more insinuation about the Prime Minister, his wife, and their marriage. I didn't read many of the articles because it really didn't interest me. Is that relevant, do you think, to the campaign, as well as, say, talk about a certain leader's health, Mr. Layton's health?
No, I don't think it's appropriate or right, it's disgraceful. In fact, if people start peddling those stories, it says a hell of a lot more about them than it does about the people they're targeting. You know, I don't know anything about the Harper's personal situation, and I don't think it is in any way relevant. You know, and it happens, and some people in politics are stupid. The Tim Hudak people here in Ontario got a hold of my divorce records. And I know it, and if it becomes an issue, I'm prepared to speak about it. And it says a hell of a lot more about them than it does about me. You know, I think they're disgusting individuals, and they look like the very thing that people dislike the most in politics. They should be ashamed of themselves.
When Stockwell Day announced that he wasn't running again, I immediately thought of you and wondered what you thought of him. I mean, we know what you thought of him during that 2000 campaign. I was an Alliance voter then, so I didn't really like you back then. His career since then, I mean, what did you make of that? And
I think he learned a lesson. You know, he acted like an idiot when he was leader of the Canadian Alliance, and I think he realized that his political career was on life support, and he needed to get it together and stop doing the water skis and, you know, talking about his, you know, how his religion was going to influence his politics. And he learned from the beating that he took, and he cooled it. And I think he saved his political career as a result of that. I mean, I disagree with everything he does in policy terms, but he ended up being, you know, much less of a disaster than people like me thought he would be, because I think he did realize this is my last shot. Otherwise, I'll go out, you know, as a laughing stock, and I don't want that. But then that's not, no pun intended, get it, laughing stock.
Did you guys talk at all since 2000?
I ran into him. I was, when I was helping out Ignatieff, I was heading up the stairs when they had Ignatieff's office, and I guess Day was coming out of the Prime Minister's office. Like, you know, Ignatieff's on the fourth floor, and then right below him is Harper. And I just said, good morning, Minister. And he said, good morning, how are you? And I said, fine, thank you very much, have a nice day. And that was it.
Yeah.
that was our historic conversation.
Man, you brought up water skis, and it just seems like a lifetime ago, doesn't it?
It does. Well, it was. It's 11 yeah. years ago. That's multiple lifetimes in politics. And, you know, he's, I think you know, he realized what a mistake he made with all of that kind of nonsense. He looked ridiculous, and that's not how our prime minister behaves. So that's why, you know, the person who learned the most from Stockwell Day's mistakes was Stephen Harper. Harper has basically mapped out his political career and his approach by doing the exact opposite of stuff that Stockwell Day did when he was leader of the alliance. And the only lapse, you know, that any of us can find, for example, on the visual front with Harper is, you know, the famous Harper at the Calgary Stampede photo. You won't see him making that mistake again.
Yeah.
So he, you know, he saw how Stockwell Day very nearly blew apart the conservative movement in Canada with that kind of nonsense, and he resolved never to do it. And, you know, last night we saw the value of it for him. He looked like a robot, but he didn't make any mistakes.
Is a liberal minority possible still? A couple weeks
ago. Pretty tough. You'd have to have a bunch of splits going your way. You'd have to have, you know, all kinds of things happen. The thing that has happened in 04 and 06 and 08 is in each one of those campaigns, Harper was gravitating towards a majority at different points. And the reason why he didn't get it in each of those campaigns is people came up with headlines saying Harper headed to majority. And young Canadians who don't vote as much, but you know, new Canadians and women voters vote a lot, saw that and said, no way. I do not favor that. If this guy has a majority, you know, we're going to lose reproductive rights. We're going to lose equal marriage. We're going to lose gun control. All the things that I care about are going to be gone if this guy gets a majority. The only thing that holds him in check is a minority, and that's what I want. So those headlines, that Harper majority stuff, has hurt him in the past. And, of course, what was interesting last night is he keeps saying over and over, I want a majority. So I guess they've got polling showing that people aren't as afraid of it anymore.
What happens to Ignatieff after this election?
Well, it depends what the outcome is. If he builds on the number of seats he's got, he's fine. Although, you know, he's 63 years old, and he's probably thinking, you know, is this how I want to enter my retirement years? If he loses seats, and I don't know how many that would be, then there would probably be, you know, that election night conversation with his wife and his family and trying to decide what he's going to do. You know, is this something, is it time for me to pass the torch? I had my shot. And move on. You know, it used to be in the Liberal Party and all the parties that you got at least a couple shots to win, and those days seem to be gone. You know, if you lose once, as in the case of Day or in the case of Dio, you're gone. And so it may be that he decides to take a walk in the snow.
We have a new premier, as you know, here in British Columbia, Christy Clark. What do you make of her?
I remember, here, you want to hear how old I am? I remember in the war room in 1993, working for Mr. Gretchen, where we got the big majority, and there, outside my office door, outside the war room door, was this young woman, young liberal, and her name was Christy Clark, and she was just amazing in those days, and hard worker, and never complained, and full of ideas, and very positive, and you just knew that she was going to be destined for great things, and but it's just like, holy smoke, she's premier of one of Canada's most important provinces. It's just wonderful. And I hope she wins, and I think she just might.
Yeah. Warren, as ever, you're good to do this. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Joseph.
The website for more, warrenkinsella.com. It's a great blog. Sun News Network debuts next week. Warren Kinsella on the line from Toronto in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.